Welcome back, 1221 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, I have been given, yes, a secret advanced copy of Cliff May's column for tomorrow's Washington Times. Now, it'll be online tonight at WashingtonTimes.com. But this week's offering, Academic Dishonors. Brandeis University smears women's rights advocate Ayaan Hirsi Ali and disgraces itself. Something tells me this story struck a nerve with you.
Well, it did, and in part possibly because I know Ayaan Hirsi Ali, and I have read her some of her books. She's written two autobiographical books, one called Infidel, one called Nomad. Both of them I highly recommend to all of your listeners. She is an amazing woman. Let me just tell her story as quickly as I possibly can get through it. She was born in Somalia. She was raised in Somalia, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Saudi Arabia. She was a member of a devout Muslim family. She was a victim of what's called female genital mutilation as a little girl. She remained a devout Muslim despite that. But when she was a bit older, her family decided it was time for her to get married, and they would send her off to Canada, where she would marry a cousin that she had never met. She decided she couldn't possibly do that and tried to figure out how to avoid it. When the plane flew into Europe and it was in a change of flights, she got off the plane. She fled to the Netherlands. She asked for asylum. They gave it to her. She very quickly learned fluent Dutch, became a Dutch citizen, went to a university, graduated, ran for parliament, became a member of parliament. And then she also began to crusade for women's rights, particularly in the Muslim world. This is what got her in such trouble with the politically correct crowd, because she spoke and does speak very frankly about the justifications made by Muslims for abuse of women, honor marriage, female genital mutilation, wife beating, all of that. She did a film on this subject with Theo van Gogh, a well-known filmmaker. He was subsequently murdered in the streets by a Dutch Muslim and a member of an Islamist organization. And the knife that was in his body when they found the body had a note on it, and it said, Ayaan Hirsi Ali will be next. She came to the United States sometime after that. I won't go into the whole thing. And she's been living here advocating for women's rights in the Muslim world. And again, the thing she's been doing that is simply verboten on college campuses is she has been talking about the justifications under Islam. So what happened was Brandeis University was going to give her an honorary degree for her advocacy on behalf of women in the Muslim world. The politically correct crowd and groups like CARE, which is an unindicted co-conspirator in a terrorism case and presents itself as a human rights organization, they vehemently objected. 85 faculty members objected. How dare she suggest there's anything in Islam that has to do with this? And so the offer of an honorary degree was rescinded by the president of the university, Frederick Lawrence. I think that was an act of absolute cowardice. I think it was an act of intolerance, and I think it's just this is something that we need to be talking about and understanding, because our universities, once upon a time citadels of learning and debate and free speech, are no longer that, and that's a great loss.
Man, you're not kidding. I got to tell you, that's a fascinating story, and I know that what she went through beginning at 5 years old was just horrendous. She comes to this country, she wants to talk about it, and she's considered Islamophobic, and the school can't, run the risk of ticking off radical Islamists? I'm curious.
Exactly.
You'd think they'd protect the Jews and Christians in the same way?
No, they do not, because Brandeis University, and this is particularly sad, you know, this was a university that was begun after the Holocaust. It's named for Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish Supreme Court justice. And they've given awards, for example, to Desmond Tutu, who is not particularly friendly towards Jews. They've given awards to Tony Kushner, who said he wished there had never been an Israel. And all that's okay because of, you know, their work. And the idea had been, we don't get into the political opinions. If the work is good, we'll give them an honorary degree. Well, evidently, you know, that's true in some cases, not others. It's those who criticize Jews in the Jewish state, they can get an honorary degree. Those who criticize Muslims in the Islamic faith, evidently they can't at this point. If you listen to people from CARE, they say, look, we don't think she should be honored, but we're all for her free speech rights.
Yeah.
That is blatantly contradicted by the fact that Ayaan Hirsi Ali is also the executive producer of a film called The Honor Diaries, came out recently. And the fact is that CARE is protesting and preventing the screening of Honor Diaries on campuses and other places around the country. Honor Diaries features not just Ayaan Hirsi Ali, but six or nine, I forget exactly how many women, including many devout Muslims, also talking about this subject of the plight of women in the Islamic, so-called Muslim world, the Islamic world. And CARE is totally against that as well, so they are not for free speech. They just pretend to be.
Mm. 85 faculty members signed a document of intolerance. I can't believe that.
And that phrase, document of intolerance, comes from Jeffrey Hirth. He is a very well-known historian, and he got his doctorate from Brandeis in 1981. I know Jeffrey as well. He teaches the University of Maryland, written a lot of very good books that have also been shouted down in some cases because he is a specialist in German history, and one of the things he's dared to write about was the influence of Nazism in the Arab and Muslim world during World War II. This is a very important point of history because there was, of course, denazification after World War II in Germany, but not from the places to which Nazism had spread rather vehemently and where you still have a kind of Nazi shadow in the background.
You know, it's amazing. This is the same campus that invited Bill Ayers, a known terrorist, to speak, 5 years ago? But they have a problem.
I've forgotten that.
They have a problem with a feminist, but they're okay with a terrorist?
That's right. They have a problem with a feminist because her focus is on the Muslim world. As if in the Muslim world there were no problems for women. And, of course, there are. And there are, of course, of Muslims who come to the United States and to Europe and continue such practices as what they call honor killings. And most people probably know what that means. But in case they don't, it means that if your daughter shames you in some way, goes out with a non-Muslim or wears clothes that are inappropriate, she deserves to be killed because she shamed the family, and the honor of the family depends on that. And there have been courts in various places that have said, well, if this is part of Muslim culture, who are we to judge? That is a crazy view for any judge to take.
I understand you have a little insight as to what she would have said upon accepting this award, right?
Well, we do. She actually wrote something about this. Basically, I just excerpted from it. It's all worth reading. But she said, look, she had hoped to say, look, I'm used to being shouted down on campuses. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to talk to you today. And I don't expect you all to agree with me, but I appreciate that you're willing to listen. And she said, wanted to say, I stand before you as someone who is fighting for the rights of women and girls globally. And then she also said, wanted to say, should it really be considered blasphemy, punishable by death, to even question the applicability of certain 7th century doctrines to our own era? Mm. And of course, the 7th century is when Islam was born and when it began to become a conquering religion and establish an empire as large as Rome at its height. She points out that both Christianity and Judaism have had their eras of reform, and she thinks it's time for a Muslim reformation. She supports Muslim reformers versus Muslim fundamentalists, those who adhere to these 7th century doctrines. And finally, she was going to say, look, the motto of Brandeis University is truth even unto its innermost parts. She wanted to say, that's my motto, too, for only through truth can your generation hope to do better than mine. I argue in my column tomorrow, maybe it's time for Brandeis to change its motto, something more in line with its current core values, which seem to me to be rather spineless and intolerant. Or the university might do some real research on why the founders of this nation of ours thought free speech was so important and why so many academics now betray that heritage.
Mm. Academic Dishonors. It is by Clifford D. May, president of the Foundation for Democracies, and he is also a Washington Times columnist. You'll want to read this tonight at WashingtonTimes.com or in the print edition of the Washington Times tomorrow. Cliff, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
You too. Thank you, sir.
1229, 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.